What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. I'm Steve Schleicher, and over there is Matthew Peterson.
Hello!
And this week we are looking at From Under Mountains number one from Image Comics. This is Claire Gibson is the writer on the piece, and Sloan Leong, L-E-O-N-G, does the art and colors on this.
I'm not 100%.
Leong, that's fine. That's okay.
I don't think you say the E-O. I think it's Lung or Lung.
So. I see. All right. So, Matthew, what is this story about? Because I'll be honest with you, this is pretty confusing in a lot of spots.
There is some confusion. It seems to be taking place in sort of a, I don't want to say medieval because it doesn't feel medieval.
No, it.
It's either ancient times or a time that is very much like ancient times.
Yes. Let's say ancient times because. Yes. They keep referring to goblins that are coming from some mountain thing, perhaps
yes, you have
under
to
the
work
mountain.
With goblins. Yes. The first 10 pages of the book are basically a magic spell.
Right.
Which is really fascinating and visually interesting, but I'm not 100% on the same page as where everything is. But once the spell is cast, we end up in a particular kingdom-type area.
Mm-hmm.
There is a gentleman who runs the kingdom, and then
he runs the keep, as from what I understand, and I don't know if that's the kingdom or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then his son, of course, who is as
a boy
prepared the fast horse. Sons are boys. His daughter, who is treated less interestingly,
because
the
she's
son
a girl.
The son is being encouraged to go out and explore and do things and ride and see new places. And the daughter is like, nope, stay in your room and read your book.
And wait until you get married and then get the hell out.
Yes,
it's pretty basic, much. And that's basically what the father says. He's like, hey, look, your mother's not around anymore. If she was here, she would tell you you're 20 years old. You're already well past marrying age. The only thing you have to worry about is getting a husband and then getting the heck out of my keep. That's when you can go explore the world.
Yeah, and that's one of the, I don't want to say problematic, but that's one of the difficult things for me to wrap my head around.
I mean, I can understand it. I mean, this is that time, this is the situation that women would be put in during that time. And
I don't know that flies in a world where we're talking about goblins and there's clearly, you know, arcane magics. A ghost creature shows up and stabs somebody in the heart.
No, stabs the Lord of the Keep's son. That's who I thought it was.
That's what I was not sure.
That's what I thought. That's how I saw it. And then there's some boy girl trying to break into some place to get some money to pay off debts.
Right. I believe that is a girl.
She witnesses the stabbings by this ghost creature thing.
And she, of course, runs away with the murder weapon, which is not wise.
Not wise. Not wise
no,
at all.
She is almost certainly going to be blamed for the murder, I think.
And then we're introduced to some kind of secret cult.
Yeah.
And a Sir Thomas Fisher.
There is a great deal going on in this verse.
There really is.
And we talk about, you know, world building.
Yes.
We talk about settings and how settings and specifically, you know, times and places and the people in them are the basis of the fictions that we want to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that you want to put that out there, but there is almost no context throughout this issue for what's happening.
Right, right.
There's maps in the back, and there's clearly a lot of attention being paid to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also an issue in terms of the representation of faces because you don't always know without checking back whom you're dealing with.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But I was really troubled by the story because we're getting a little bit of setup. We're finding out who names are, those kinds of things. But we don't know, again, as we said at the beginning, what's the world going on? Why are these people praying for some demon to go kill a child or a young man? Right. Why is this going on? And in a book, if I were buying this as a book, it would be an excellent first chapter because it's giving us a bunch of setup. And perhaps in prose form, we would be able to have a lot more explanation of the world.
Internal monologue, we'd get descriptions, we'd get names.
Right.
That's my biggest frustration about this is it's hard to go through and put this together and there aren't any clear explanations of the names of the characters we're reading about necessarily.
Yeah.
And I get that they're, it's not the Jim Shooter era where somebody walks in and goes, "Hello, Spider-Man, Captain America and I, Iron Man, we're just talking about how you should come here."
Right.
But you have to be able to weave place and name into what you're doing.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So a good setup for the first chapter of a book, perhaps, but for this book, not for me. And to complicate things even more, I wasn't overly thrilled with the art.
The art is intentionally, I believe, evocative of more primitive art styles. You know, you hear people talk about them as indie style, but it's really just it's a choice. It's specifically something that is evoking those that independent comic book style of the past. The thing about it to me is not necessarily what is being chosen necessarily, but consistency. Because when you said to me, "Hey, I think that's the Keepmaster son being stabbed," that's the first I realized that you're probably right. But when he leaves, he has chainmail shoulder pads.
Oh, maybe it's not. Maybe it is somebody else.
When he comes back, they are not consistently drawn. He gets stabbed, he falls, and then all of a sudden they appear. So, yeah, I think that the biggest issue with the art is one that's just going to have to come from additional art.
Yeah.
On the part of, there are some great facial expressions. I like some of the character designs. I like the basis of what's here. But I don't necessarily know that Sloan Lung, I apologize if you're listening. Please let us know how to pronounce the name correctly. But I don't know that he or she is quite at the point where I would say this is a successful, unaided issue thing for me. There are consistency issues. There are beautiful sequences. There are beautiful layouts. I think that the storytelling is pretty solid, but kind of like with the writing, there's a lack of that initial panel that says, okay, we've driven down a dirt road and now we're here. We see at the beginning when we're first introduced to the characters in the keep, we see the mountains and then we pull back theoretically, because it's not a camera.
Right.
But you see those mountains through the window, not the same.
Yeah.
Not consistently drawn as the same mountains for the first shot. Then we pull back and we see her eyes, the young lady's eyes. And again, when you get to this is 3-4. She names him 4 pages in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we get her name.
I think it is brought up at some point, but at this point, I'm not going to go digging for it, unfortunately.
That is a thing. This is something that, her name's Elena.
Yeah.
Right there, page 20 of...
Page 20 of 40.
28, yes. So, yeah, that, I mean...
That's just a real issue, and when I open this up, this looked like a very indie book to me, which is, I understand Image deals sometimes with, they're not they publish independent,
right.
work, but this is something that seemed very different from what they would normally do.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not.
It's not to say that this is unsuccessful. I think that it's in a genre that gets a lot of attention. I mean, we're kind of looking at a quasi high fantasy sort of world, mm-hmm. with, you know, swords and sorcery and horses, and even the different flavor of the magic, you still kind of go, well, you know, is this somebody's Dungeons and Dragons campaign being transcribed?
Yeah, true.
You know, but again, that doesn't necessarily make for a bad story. I just feel like it makes for an unsuccessful start.
Yeah.
You know, if we get six issues in and we have the first real collected trade, I might think something different. But right now, I'm just kind of frustrated with the amount of work I'm having to do to try and really flesh this out, to try and understand who does what and mm-hmm. where, mm-hmm. how these goblins come into play. In the first, you know, those first pages when we're talking about the magical spell,
right.
I think she names like five.
Oh yeah, four different avatars and binds them and binds them. Yeah, I thought exactly. To be honest, I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is kind of creepy. What's going to happen? And then there's no kind of explanation about that. You know, we see right. that the person casting the spell whispers in the demon's ear. Or the spirit's ear, and then the next we see it, it's coming out of the darkness and stabbing
and
somebody.
She says, "Hail Hydra."
I know, that's probably what it So, I don't know. The art is problematic. I don't know what's going on in this story. I have very little to no interest in reading this book anymore, and unfortunately, I'm going to have to tell people to pass on it. I mean, it seems like it could be a good concept, but I think if I'm going to look at this again, I have to look at it when it's in the trade.
Yes, and I think that's the thing. You know, when a similar but very different book in terms of maybe genre or type of story, the first issue of The Autumn Lands
mm-hmm.
really hit a solid, you know, triple play for me. This was a book that had these same sort of things. It gave us this main character, and he put him in this weird world, and his father's doing this, and there's magic, and there's an owl, and there's a girl who's like a pig or something. But there are all of these massive concepts being introduced and thrown around. But it worked in context because they gave us enough to say, okay, well, we may not know what it means that his father is the Flabbity of Framazababada. But in context, we know that clearly the Flabbity of Framazababada means something. It means that he is important. And I think that context, that maybe experience in terms of the storytelling from the writing side, and then a little bit of experience in terms of just some more tread on your boots when you're really putting these things down, would make it all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
This could be a fascinating book once we get a little more story into it, but I'm honestly agreeing with you. I don't know that I have a whole lot of impetus to give it 3 or 5 or 10 issues to really get its feet under it. I mean, mm-hmm. This was 350, right?
I believe so, yes. And yeah. So, but the other thing too is, if we were looking for just what is this book about, mm-hmm. somebody's murdered and now we have to figure out the who's and the whys and the whats.
Yeah,
so if that's intriguing in a semi fantasy world environment that we can tell right now, then yeah. maybe it's your cup of tea, but it's just, did not hit for me.
Yeah.
So
it is rated M for mature. So if you're over 18 mm-hmm. and you're really into that.
Why do you think it's rated M for mature? Do you think it's because of the slicing of the wrist and the demon calling stuff?
I presume the blood and the stabbing and the demons and the murdery murder.
Okay. Interesting. Because we get a lot worse than that in T for Teen.
Right. Well, there may be breastuses or there may be stuff coming
and
up.
Maybe coming
really
forward,
in adult
yeah.
context.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. So there you go from Image Comics out this week. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, it's Adam.3 number 3. Angel in Faith Adam season 10 number 19. And I think that series coming to an end pretty soon, the Angel in Faith series.
Yeah, I kind of faded out on that one. I didn't realize it was still being produced. This is season 10,
season
right?
10, right.
Yeah, okay.
Barbed Wire number 4, Dead Vengeance number 1. Let's see. Laura Croft, Frozen Omen, number 1. Maybe we could hit on that if no one's taken that, because that's a new series that a lot of people are excited about. Mm-hmm. If you're into Sherlock Holmes and the Necronomicon hardcover, it comes out next week for only $18.
Sherlock Holmes and the Necronomicon.
Yes. DC Comics has Action Comics number 45, Batman and Robin Eternal number 1. That's the brand new series from Kyle Higgins. And I think that's the weekly series that DC is putting out.
Ah, Eternal is weekly. Yeah.
Yes. Batman Beyond number 5, Crisis on Infinite Earths Deluxe Edition hardcover. That's a $50 book. Cyborg number 3. Detective Comics number 45, Injustice Gods Among Us year 4 number 11. Midnighter number 5, Telos number 1. That's the continuing adventures of Telos from the most recent Earth-shattering multiverse Convergence series.
Telos from Convergence?
Yes.
That thing that's not Brainiac?
Yes.
Is getting his own title?
Yes.
Why?
$2.99?
But what remains untold about Telos?
I mean, he's got to find out where he came from. If you remember at the end of that series, he's like, I want to know because Brainiac had actually taken him from a place, and apparently he has a past and a history and, background story that needs to be told. Here's the solicitation. The villain of the world-shattering Convergence events stars in his own new series. Oh, stars in his own new series!
Series.
From his planetary tether at the end of the best-selling... Set loose from his planetary tether at the end of Convergence, Telos finds himself free and able to traverse space and time via a sliver of Brainiac's powers. As this epic begins, he embarks on an odyssey, journeying across time and space in search of his past. Now, let me ask you this. If you have the power, to bring worlds together and do all the things that he was doing, don't you think you could conjure up what happened to your past?
You'd think.
Maybe that's a limit of his powers. I don't know. But that is Telos number 1. It's out next week from DC Comics. Maybe we should review that.
Let's do it. Telos number 1.
Let's do Telos number 1 from DC Comics. Only because we're gluttons for punishment.
You said, hey, guys, let's totally cover all these Convergence.
Well, I thought it might be awesome and cool, and they might be doing cool things. And then it was just like, hey, here's a bunch of stories we had sitting around. I don't know.
And I'm like,
just throw them in a book.
Isn't this 2 months long? And you're like, no.
I didn't think it was going to be 2 months
long. Certainly not.
At the end of week one, I was like, oh, dear God, it's 2 months long.
It's 2 months long, and it's 18 issues per week for 2 months.
IDW,
dude,
I know.
I may never forgive you for that.
Hey, it could be worse. We could be reviewing Secret Wars every week.
Your mother.
IDW Publishing has Angry Birds, Super Angry Birds number 2.
Super. They're not just angry. They're super angry.
Now, just a couple of weeks ago, we reviewed the first issue. Atomic Robo and the Ring of Fire number 2 comes out next week. Go grab it. If you've been following along in the web comics, you know things are getting really interesting. Boy 1 number 3, Edward Scissorhands Trade Paperback volume 2, Fly Outbreak. Yeah, we did. We did Boy 1 number 1, and you didn't like it because of the whole implications of DNA development and all that stuff.
Yeah, the thing and the thing.
Sherlock Holmes 7% Solution number 3, String Divers number 3, Tet number 2, TMNT Ongoing number 50. There's an anniversary issue. That is a supersized issue. It is an $8 comic. So just be aware of that. Then we have X-Files Season 11 number 3. Image Comics has, what do we got? 8 House, number 4, Yoris. Is that what it's called? 8 House?
8
House. All right. Copperhead, number 10. Dark Corridor, number 3. Humans, number 9. Nailbiter, number 16. Paper Girls, number 1. I have no idea what that is about.
It's about these girls.
And they're made of paper.
Paper, yeah. Paper girls.
I see what you're saying. But here's what the solicitation says.
Okay.
Saga writer Brian K. Vaughan launches a brand new ongoing series with superstar Wonder Woman artist Cliff Chang.
Superstar.
Or is it Chiang?
Chang.
Chang. In the early hours after Halloween of 1988, four 12-year-old newspaper delivery girls uncover the most important story of all time. Stand By Me meets War of the Worlds in this mysterious young adult adventure. Starting with a spectacular double-sized first issue for only $2.99. Man, maybe that one might even be better.
I don't know.
Telos. And there's 3 books that could be really good next week.
I say Telos because all I'm right. a glutton for your punishment.
All right, we'll still do that. But yeah, I think that Lara Croft Frozen Omen number one, I think I've actually got that one already.
You're right.
And the TMNT 50, Atomic Robo Fire number two. And this Paper Girls, number one, those all sound like four books to be reading next week. In addition to We Stand Guard, number four, Wicked and the Divine Pantheon Circle t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Then Marvel Comics has 1602 Witch Hunt Angela, number four. Color Your Own Age of Ultron trade paperback. It's a $9.99 book.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Darth Vader, number 10. Doctor Strange, number one. Ooh, Doctor Strange, number one comes out. There's a fifth book for you. Groot number 5, Invincible Iron Man number 1, Powers number 5, Secret Wars number 6, mm-hmm. Spider Island number 5, Star Wars Lando number 5, and What If Infinity Inhumans number 1, and What If Infinity Thanos number 1.
What If Infinity Thanos?
And if you are a fan of Werewolf by Night,
yes,
it gets an omnibus hardcover that comes out next week for $125. And if
I
you
am
want,
a fan of Werewolf
and if
now.
You are a fan of the Marvel Star Wars years, that omnibus hardcover volume 3 comes out next week, also with a $125 price tag.
Hmm.
And Bonnie number 6 comes out from all the rest. Aliens Vampirilla number 2. I forgot to read the first one of that, so I got to get caught up.
Vampir Aliens.
Yep. Cluster number 9, Complete Adventures of Choli and Flytrap hardcover.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's,
is it?
Yeah. That used to be in Epic Illustrated back in the day.
Oh, okay. Doctor Who, the 11th Year 2, number 1. Grim Fairy Tales, Cinderella 10th Anniversary Special, number 5. Grant Morrison's 18 Days, number 4. Grumpy Cat, number 1.
Grumpy Cat.
No, that's Smelly Cat.
What are they feeding you?
Hip Hop Family Tree number 2, Home number 4, Jim Henson's Dark Crystal Hardcover Volume 3, Creation Myths. That's a good series. Jughead number 1. There's a sixth book I'm looking forward to next week.
Good. Laird Almighty.
Knights of the Dinner Table 224.
We may have to do Jughead number 1.
I would hope. We're already a glutton. How about this? Okay. How about we do two dueling reviews? A twofer next week where we do both Telos. And then we cleanse our palate and have restore our faith in humanity by reviewing Jughead number 1.
Ooh, are we going to do it in the same show?
Do it in the same show.
Release two shows.
No, do it in the same show.
Done.
There you go.
All right.
Mass 2 number 7. Let's see, what else? But see, look at those six books coming out next week that I'm already excited about. Rick and Morty number 4 gets a second printing.
Six beautiful books.
Toil and Trouble number 2, that is a very good series. 7 books now that I'm looking forward to.
Seven beautiful books.
Walt Disney Donald Duck hardcover volume 7, Trick or Treat.
Eight.
Zombies versus Cheerleaders Halloween 2015
nine.
Number 9. Number 1, sorry. So there you go. No, there's a bunch of books coming out, but those are ones that those 6 or 7 right there would be ones that I'm like most looking forward to next week. And listeners, I hope you've got books that you're looking forward to next week. Of course, every week we have the complete rundown of all the books that are coming out. That comes out usually on Monday, unless I forget, and then it comes out first thing Tuesday morning. And then we have our Major Spoilers staff picks that comes out first thing Wednesday morning, so you can see what we're recommending right before you run down to the comic book store and pick up your comic collection. And
unless
of course, if
we forget at which point it goes
No, up. Usually we don't forget that. Usually it's like, this is a busy week and there's, you know, not much going on, or people forget to turn their stuff in on time, that kind of stuff. But we sure do appreciate everything that you do to support Major Spoilers, including so many of you tweeting out on this podcast day, hashtag podcast day, that you love shows that we put out. And I thank you very much for that. And if you're a Major Spoilers VIP, you should be thanked on this podcast day for making these shows continue week after week. And if you'd like to become a Major Spoilers VIP and join our growing crowd of super awesome people from around the world,
yeah,
and get access to some extra cool content, head over to members.majorspoilers.com. That's members.majorspoilers.com. Sign up today. It's for less than the cost of one of these 7 books that I'm looking forward to next week, you could sign up and become a silver member. And the cost of one comic book per month is how you can support us.
Yeah. That really does break it down. If you know, I bought a comic yesterday that was $7.99.
Jim and the Holograms.
That was a good book too.
It was. oh, are you excited about the Jim and the Holograms movie? I went to a movie today with my wife. She actually had a rare day off. So we slipped out to go see a movie. And, well, she had an afternoon off. But they had the trailer for Jim and the Holograms coming soon.
Yeah. I'm trepidatious. I'm worried about the Jim and the Holograms movie because I feel like they may have missed a thing or two. You know what I mean?
Like watching Josie and the Pussycats?
Yes. Do you remember Josie and the Pussycats?
Yes, I do. And
not
from,
a good movie.
Well, but the problem is everything that I'm seeing in the premise or in the trailer, it feels very much like Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, not a good movie.
Yeah. Hey, but at least it's got a little robot that projects holograms.
A little Synergy's not a robot. Synergy's a hologram.
No, in this movie, it's a little robot that projects holograms.
Read my lips.
I'm telling you, that's what it is.
You can tell me what's in the movie, and I will tell
it's
you.
It's also got Hayley Kiyoko that you know from CSI or one of those shows.
Hayley Kiyoko was in The Big Bang Theory, wasn't she?
Oh, no, no.
Maybe I'm thinking of Kaylee Kiyoko.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Anyway, that wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Thank you, everyone, for downloading, listening, sharing this podcast with a friend. Thank you, Matthew, for being here.
Hey, got to do what you got to do, right?
You got to do what you got to do. That is true. And we're going to continue to read comics because we love comics and we know you do, too. And we will talk with you next time.
Why?
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.